Recognized internationally as a conductor of the highest caliber, Stefan Deneuve has won praise from audiences and critics alike for his performances and programming with the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, as performed at the BBC Proms, Edinburgh International Festival, and at many other celebrated venues throughout Europe.
And Deneuve enjoys close relationships with many of the world's leading solo artists, also a conductor of opera, having worked at the Royal Opera House in La Scala, Netherlands Opera, Cincinnati Opera, and many other phenomenal companies around the world. He's really gotten to be a very good friend of ours, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He was with us twice last year, and it's a delight to welcome him back to the roundtable this morning. The maestro will be playing tonight, an incredible program, and it means so much to both of us that you take time out of your day, your very, very busy day, to spend a few moments with us. I appreciate that.
I was telling the maestro that there's a picture of John Williams, him, and me, of all people, up on my wall in my office. Every time you come in there, you're going to see him.
I see it every time I go in.
That was such an honor to make an interview with the great John Williams. And indeed, we benefit from a great photo. I treasure this photo, too.
Oh, you have it, too?
Of course.
In your office?
We sent it to him.
In my bedroom.
So you have let us talk about the program, and then we'll talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
We'll begin with, so you're doing Strauss, Beethoven, and Poulenc tonight, and just the story about Strauss, Death and Transfiguration, is an interesting one. You've come with documentation, which I think is fascinating.
Well, I'm always passionate about the history of the BSO because, you know, they have such a huge one. And I was impressed to see that this piece has been already played in 1897, so only 7 years after it was premiered in Germany. So it came very early, possibly maybe even the first American performance, I don't know. But very early here. And there is an incredible list of conductors that did this piece very regularly. I mean, Fiedler, and then, of course, a lot of Munch and Monteux and Koussevitzky did that many times. Then it got a little bit out of fashion, and indeed the very last time it was played here in Tanglewood was in 64 with Tchaikovsky. So I'm glad we do the first performance of this piece in the new millennium.
Mm. So you get to do this, and what does that mean? Because just in the time that we've spent with you, you seem so excited, and there is a radiance that comes from you, not only about what you do, but of the history of what you do.
No, it's very true that I'm fascinated by the traveling time that music can offer. And I think to have a better future, we need always to reevaluate the past. That's very rich. And indeed, I'm always trying to make it alive, the past, because it's not far away. I mean, there are in this world, there are still people who met Richard Strauss. They exist. And there is a wonderful bass player here, Joe Hearn, who has been in the orchestra since, I think, 51 years. And he knew somebody when he arrived as a young man. He knew somebody who spoke to Brahms. So between Brahms and just us right now, there is just two persons, you know, there's nothing. So that's a way certainly to keep things alive and try to put things in perspective. But you may wonder what is this strange program I'm doing tonight, because...
Yes, we do wonder.
fact, I'm glad you do.
I don't know that it's... I wouldn't have labeled it as strange, but it was...
No, this was actually an interesting challenge. What happened is that Tony Fogg, you know, the great music director here...
Just here.
Oh, he was here, okay. Actually, he said, do you want to work with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus? I mean, of course, I said. And he proposed the Stabat Mater, which is a piece I adore, I recently recorded. So I was very, very happy. Okay, so this piece was decided. Then we had a soloist who had actually to change because his wife was due to have a baby at the date. So, but Leif Ove Andsnes came, and he had to do, he's in the middle of a Beethoven project, Beethoven 4 piano concerto. And I was scratching my head thinking like, okay, what do you do to make coherent this Stabat Mater and Beethoven 4, which are quite different? Then I got the idea, because like Liszt and like many people, I strongly believe indeed that the 4th piano concerto is a kind of musical version of the myth of Orpheus, you know, Orpheus going in the underworld, soothing the furies there and furies there and trying to save Eurydice, which he will fail to do. Anyway, and then I said, wait a minute, Stabat Mater is about the death of Jesus, of course, crucified on the cross, and, you know, the resurrection. Then you have also Orpheus going in the piano concerto, certainly going to the underworld, the kingdom of death, and coming back. So I thought, this is the idea, death and transfiguration. So we have actually a little red thread tonight, which will be this theme of death and transfiguration or resurrection.
Do you want the audience to know that? Will you explain that to them tonight?
Actually, possibly. I've been asked by the people here to say a few words before the Stabat Mater, and I may give them the clue later if they didn't notice this little connection. Because I think it's interesting. It's like art is always the same. You want to make an art which is accessible without explanation, but actually you want as well that explanation enlighten you and just make you smarter and enjoy it even more. So I think those two paths have to be together.
You, when you came in just a moment ago, you were still beaming from an experience of hearing Charles Dutoit conduct the orchestra.
Look, it's paradise here. The place is so gorgeous. And I arrived here, and to get to the studio here, I was just on the lawn. And you see these gorgeous views, the mountains, the hills, beautiful hills of Berkshire, these greens. And you hear this amazing sound from Ravel, because the orchestra is rehearsing as we speak. And I mean, it's as good as it gets in the world. I mean, just I really felt I was in paradise to hear the subtle, colorful music of Ravel in the air while I'm just, you know, having these little promenades through the trees. I mean, it's magic.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, I tell you.
So, and that's what, and I assume that's what keeps you going. And sort of, are you at a point now where you decide what you want to do? You know, of what works?
I mean, here or everywhere?
Well, everywhere.
I'm in a good place, let's say. I mean, I don't want to appear pretentious, obviously, but things are going very well. I have a great orchestra now in Stuttgart, the Stuttgart Radio, and I can really program whatever I want. It's fascinating. In Germany, we know we have a very good audience. We don't have to work for it, which is incredible. I mean, I tell you an anecdote, because before in Scotland, we had to really be very careful about programming.
Sure.
To have, you know, balance the program to stay attractive and have some blockbusters, as we call them. And I arrive in Stuttgart and I say, okay, so let's do, you know, this new piece from Lindbergh. And I said, okay, maybe we should then do something, you know, for the audience, like a Tchaikovsky 4. And my director there, mine director, told me, Tchaikovsky 4, but that's too popular. I didn't know there was a thing like that, like being too popular. But indeed, just it's a little anecdote to tell you that in Stuttgart, I really can do all I want, and I can have a very artistic feeling in the programming. And yes, I'm lucky as well. It's always, of course, you know, a discussion programming. You know, you have to know what the soloist wants to do, what he can do, he or she can do. And of course, you have to adapt to the season of the orchestra, what could be interesting for them, what is not played since a while, whatever. So I'm quite open-minded. But yes, usually it's a very positive discussion, and I always get something which is actually not a compromise.
I'm so fascinated by the international implications of what you're talking about. I mean, we have a country which has got the word radio, which is meaningful to Joe and I, in the name of the orchestra. But in some countries, classical music is doing so much better than in others. And you've indicated that, you know, in terms of balancing blockbusters or playing stuff more sophisticated. What is that all about?
It's fascinating to visit. I mean, I'm lucky enough to visit indeed many countries in the world. And what classical music is doing is very different indeed. You have in Germany a huge tradition, and there's so much music and so much culture in Germany. France is also doing quite good. And then, I mean, you have these fantastic countries as well, like Korea or China, sure, where you have so many new people that do music and love music, that's classical music. That's fascinating. And yes, indeed, recently the news in America have been quite grim, I'm afraid. And it seems that unfortunately you're so much dependent of the economy that you react right away. So I was reading the news this morning, by the way, at the stock exchange or whatever in America, got a new record this morning, and people have the feeling that the economy is back, you know, on track. And I was reading that with great pleasure, because I hope the reaction will be as fast, positive, as it was negative, and that many orchestras that are suffering right now in the States will indeed have some major donors that will come back and
help them. Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to tell us that you were enthusiastic because you had some money in the market.
I don't. You remember I have a family, you know, and I rent here a very expensive house to have my in-laws are there, my wife, and I love to spend money with pleasure, and I don't keep money, I spend it.
Uh-huh. Now, the people on the radio can't see this, but if they go to tanglewood.org, they can. And this is the press picture they have of you conducting. And, man, you have conductor hair. Look at that. That is flyaway hair. Now, it's very tame this morning. You have it slicked back. But
you know the truth? I was just actually in the pool before with my little daughter, Alma. So that's why my hair are indeed very...
So will it look like that tonight?
It's coming. Yes, it's always progressive. My hair is a living, you know, phenomenon. So actually...
It's always a work in progress.
When I do an opera, you have the hair act one, the hair act two, the hair, you know, act three. And you don't want to see me doing a five-act opera.
Well, you know, Wang Wang, when he was here, was talking about how he grew up watching Tom and Jerry and that was an influence. Mm. But seeing Bugs Bunny and doing the wonderful Chuck Jones cartoons, when he would be, Bugs would be the conductor, would sort of wreak havoc upon the... conductor, he'd have that kind of hair.
But look, there is a book to be done about conductor and hair because it's really something. And just almost every conductor has something. I mean, I don't know if it's like Samson that the power is there. Maybe because look, we turn our back to the audience, so the only thing the audience can enjoy, I mean, it's not our back, I hope, but our hair. So that's maybe also. But it's fascinating to see that. I promise you, I didn't do anything for it. It just came like that, and I don't know what is the hen and the egg. You know, if the hair come first and then I became conductor, or it's because I'm a conductor that the hair grew this way. But there is something to do. I mean, I've been sometimes with reunion of conductor, like I've been with Simon Rattle together and Gustavo Dudamel or something, and we like hey, what? I mean, we just exchanged information about our hairdresser.
No, I was going to ask about that. Where does the barber come into all of this?
That new beard, you mean?
Yes.
The barber, the haircutter.
Oh, the haircut. It is a very, very sensitive question because I'm traveling a lot and it's very hard to... And I have a wonderful guy that I found since 7 years in Scotland. And sorry to be a bit private, actually. But I saw him for the last time. I'm moving to Stuttgart, you know. And I asked him if he could actually even come to Stuttgart, if I can fly him in, because I want to continue to have him.
A move.
No, yeah. No wonder you don't have any money.
Right, you're spending your money. You're bringing the guy in. That is great. Oh, my God. And keep him on the tarmac. Do a Clinton thing. That's awesome.
And I try to use this media thing, actually. I use a wonderful product, which is Potionite by Sebastian. And I hope that doing this little free commercial right now will get me... some free Sebastian product, because speaking of money,
well,
that's very expensive.
Is that gel or what?
It's a very wonderful product, which is not really a gel. So it keeps the
like
hair.
Like a lacquer?
But it doesn't. It's kind of an orange thing. It's a wonderful product. I love Sebastian. If they want to send me some free Potion 9, I take it.
Well, what we need to do is cut that out, send you a CD, stick it in an envelope, and send it to them.
Send it to them. My God, we need to. We want that hair to be your legacy, as well as your musical legacy, of course.
I mean, what a list of artists here. Charles Dutoit, Yo-Yo Ma will be there tomorrow. There is Lang Lang. I just did a concert 2 weeks ago with Lang Lang in Stuttgart, and I'm blown away. He's really an incredible artist.
He was a very, very
he's a wonderful guy.
Down to earth. Yeah.
Oh yes,
but
he does
spend some time on his hair.
Well, he had product too. He had gel that was spiked. He didn't want the he was concerned about the headphones screwing up the hair.
I know. Yeah. It's dangerous. Yes.
Okay. Well, you guys take notes, and maybe you can use your product. Stefan Deneuve will conduct Strauss, Beethoven, and Poulenc in the Shed tonight. To learn more, tanglewood.org. I can't even begin to tell you what a delight it is to speak to you and have you join our program. Thank you so much, and I look forward to our next time.
I really hope I will see you again. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
Me
You're
too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.